XM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Horse racing, handicapping,
interviews.
This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
Very good Monday, race fans. Sirius 219 XM 201, Sports Zone 964, if you're listening to Sirius XM online, and at the website as well, stevebick.com. A busy, rather frenetic, didn't expect it, but it ended up being chock full, to say the least. And right from Friday, with the last day of the OBS sale, and then into Saturday through Saturday night, the action at Churchill Downs that'll be a big part of conversation, connection discussions next couple of days, including Dallas Stewart seeking the soul. A good performance. To win the Foster, we'll talk to Dallas. Saturday was a big, full, long day. And then yesterday as well, because the anticipation of the return to action of Maximum Security, the upset of him in the Pegasus by King for a Day. I don't think it was, I don't think it was like earth shattering. I thought there were plenty of reasons to wonder how well he would run yesterday, but we'll get to that. The Santa Anita force out, $5 million bet into the jackpot distribution, and ended up, it was actually, paid nicely considering, there were no huge surprises, but there were enough, particularly third choices. I think there were, maybe three third choices, only one favorite, a couple of second choices. Yeah, I think that's right. A favorite, two second choices, and three third choices. Might have been a fourth choice. Either way, it was just tricky enough to make it a decent return. We'll get to that and so much more. I'll probably talk to John White later. And, of course, Johnny D. I'm sure Johnny played it. See how he made out. Then there was lots of hard news, a ton of hard news. And even going back to last week, because I do want to talk about Menifee. Menifee passed away. And if you're about my age and if your interest in the game, kind of percolated in the 80s and then got, more serious in the 90s, well, Menifee was was a horse that, you got to see, and he was really in part of, a well-documented and highly fascinating three-year-old season that year. And he won his share. He won, and he certainly held his own. I mean, only off the board once in his entire career. His career ended a little early, but then became a very successful sire, particularly in Korea. And the last, 10 years in Korea, part of the KRA, part of their initiative, and because they race on dirt, they've relied on American bloodstock, and Menifee. I saw Nicole Russo had a piece, and the headline was Korea's Sunday Silence. And just trying to think of the, I saw that Travers when Lemon Drop Kid paired up his Belmont success for Mrs. Vance and Scotty Schoenhofer. But I'm trying to think of the other places that I may have seen Menifee. I got to talk to my man Phil, and because 99, I had just moved here, and right during that period, and we were on hand for the Belmont too, so that I know, but I can't remember if I went to the Preakness that year, because I literally was in the process of moving into the house here from Montreal. I bought the house in February, and then I think, yeah, then I, by the time we got everything all done, I think it was end of April, early May. So that was a great Triple Crown and 3-year-old season, his win in the Haskell. And then he finished his career third in the Travers and then second, actually, in the Super Derby. And there's actually even a funny parallel to his performance there because he lost to Ecton Park, who eventually made his way to Korea as well. And the two of them have been atop the sire standings in Korea. So Menifee and, of course, Elliot Walden. Trained for Arthur Hancock and also with and James Stone as well. Arthur bred Menifee. We also had the retirement of Diversify come out yesterday and Ralph Evans announcing that Jonathan Thomas had taken over the training for the late Rick Violette, and we'll certainly, I know when Andy joins us tomorrow, we'll certainly talk about Diversify. Rick Violette, really the crowning touch, the coda to his excellent training career. And that win, you think about the Whitney win. Which was, I mean, it doesn't even, it feel, God, it feels so long ago now. Before Rick's passing. So, Diversify, 10 wins, 16 starts, just under $2 million in earnings. 2-time grade one winner, Jockey Club Gold Cup in 2017, and then came back and won the Whitney last year. A special moment for Rick. So it ends up his last career start was the attempt to defend the Gold Cup where Discreet Lover, Thunder Snow, and Mendelssohn among the... He ended up fifth in there. He had his usual long run up front and then settled back, and he was heavily bet that day too. I didn't realize that he was 3-5 that day. Anyway, so among the two names that won a retirement and won a passing horses that a lot of people undoubtedly latched onto during their careers. On that same front, after the first break this morning, before we start to enjoy some recaps and some of those kinds of conversations, Dallas Stewart near the bottom of the hour. Tom Bush is going to join us, and he will provide us with an update on Clyde's Image, who was more or less eased, pulled up as quickly as possible in the shadow of the wire by Javier Castellano yesterday in the poker, and it became pretty obvious that it was something serious and maybe suspensory, maybe tendon, ultimately a tendon, and his career is over. But Nice job by Javier to, you know, immediately recognize the distress and, you know, start to, he basically stood right up. He didn't, and you have to ease them. You can't make, you know, when you know something went wrong, you can't jerk them to a stop. That's dangerous for them. So, and, you know, for what might be trailing horses behind, and that ended up, you know, creating a 5-horse scramble and photo in the poker that saw Christophe Clement's Gucci Factor get the nod. But Clyde's Image was well on his way to victory yesterday in the poker, and it's too bad. And there's a lot to this horse that in the story to for Tom Bush, it means a tremendous amount. Get Stormy and Mrs. Sullivan, and so we'll get an update and we'll see what the initial thoughts might be about, you know, retirement. I mean, it's a tendon, and so there's potential. There may be such a good looking horse, it you know, like a sire. We'll see what I mean, what the extent is, and if there's a show ring potential for the gelding, or, you know, whatever might be possible for him. So Tom Bush will join us in a matter of minutes. Back to some of the results and some of the things that went on Friday, the sale, and I guess we could do this a little bit now, but the fireworks a little bit. You had a $900,000 seller on Friday afternoon, and that not just the $900,000 seller. There was also a couple of others that really propelled the sale into positive numbers. It was you know, fairly just, you know, steady and rather mundane, really. And then all of a sudden, you know, a whole bunch of the top hips of the 3 days lit things up. And it was as been suggested by Tom Ventura, it was, in fact, that Roatan Full Sister, 900,000, and it should have immediately been evident, I mean, just by watching that, you know, we'd listened to the audio, but it didn't immediately occur, but it was, of course, Larry Best. Why wouldn't he get the full sibling with Roatan, you know, coming out of that nice performance last weekend in New York? So the Into Mischief filly puts the spurs to the thing. And then late in the day, and I had mentioned that we were, you know, after you heard us acquire that Datalink gelding, who got down to Palmetto's, Chuck sending me some pictures, and all safe and doing good. I said that we wanted to get a New York bred. Well, late in the sale, after flirting with two or three hips, we landed an Arch filly, hip 988, for $30,000, and she is number one. She's lovely. Dave Scanlon prepared her, and we're really excited. She arrived in New York yesterday morning, 7:30, and settled in right away. A big, big, good-looking filly that breezed nicely and particularly galloped out nicely. So we're kind of excited. We got the 2-year-old in Florida, and the gelding, and now a 2-year-old filly in New York for later in the summer. No timetable. She wasn't being leaned on. You know, she's a May foal, May 13th, so had just turned 2, preparing for the sale. So we'll ease into it with her. But I gotta say, kind of excited. I'm sure that Norm Cassie's excited. We can't talk to Norm today. He's tied up. Tomorrow, Norm Cassie to talk about his first graded stake winner that came in the regret at the end of that pick five. Hard legacy. Julien Leparoux took over and brought him around. Mr. Money with a nice effort. We'll get to Brett Calhoun. A late righted the ship. Very strong effort. And this is Weber and Mark Cassie. How about March to the Arch, who we should have taken the clue when Mark told us last week that he was entering. Back after this, though, Tom Bush.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from EchoBase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
XM satellite radio, of course, and satellite of love, which we enjoy. I certainly prefer to bring Tom Bush on when we get to celebrate successes, and there were no shortage of those opportunities with Clyde's Image and with his sire, of course, before him, and other good trainees from the Tom Bush barn. But yesterday, everybody alarmed immediately when it became apparent that Javier Castellano was easing up and pulling up Clyde's Image in the shadow of the wire, and brought back to the barn and a career-ending injury. Tom, so sorry. Everybody in racing, I'll speak for everybody. How badly we feel for you and the team and Mrs. Sullivan. He became a real fan favorite.
Thanks so much, Steve. I'm just very happy this morning. The horse is quite a bit more comfortable than he was when we got him back to the barn. So I'm very relieved of that. And he is on some anti-inflammatories and he's getting plenty of ice therapy. But very happy to see him so much more comfortable than he was when we took him off the track.
Watching it unfold, too, I mean, here you are you know, strides away from, you know, another win and, you know, further enhancing of what's been a very nice career. And then all of a sudden, I mean, you had to see that it was more than, you know, that it was more than just something happening amiss with the saddle or, you know, some of the things you think of when you see a rider struggling with a horse anywhere on the track.
Yeah, I mean, I saw the misstep that you know began the whole incident, and it was very alarming to see that. And obviously, when he was galloping out, I could see that he was injured. So, you know, it'll be a long road back to health. But Mrs. Sullivan is very, very generous and kind to her horses, and there isn't anything that she wouldn't do to help him, and that's what we plan on doing, and we're hoping that he can have a useful life as a riding horse at some point in time, but we're just going to work real hard to get him healthy again.
You know, he's had his issues, I mean, certainly, and has been, you know, fairly limited and carefully handled. I mean, explain, you know, what this was, and you know, if there's been any other, you know, kinds of things that, you know, you've dealt with over the years.
He actually had a very mild injury to this same tendon, not in the same area where this appears to be damaged, but probably not relatable. But I did give him a really long time for that, so that he would have the best chance to make it back, because, you know, we really liked him. His early three-year-old form was very good, and he's a nice, big, stout, strong horse, and we knew he had a big future. So he didn't run for 20 months, and, you know, only an owner like Mrs. Sullivan would allow me to give a horse that much time to bring him back, and she was rewarded for that. But unfortunately, we have a new injury, and, you know, obviously, the horse, we're just hoping to get him happy and healthy and find him another life.
And when you have a horse like this that, you know, has made, you know, spot starts, he made the one start at two and then started to, you know, come around and, you know, show that potential with the two stakes placements at three, then you had that year and a half plus off. But then it became obvious, you know, as a mature horse, as a 4-year-old and into his 5-year-old year, that, you know, he was going to be competitive. And I suppose, Tom, he's a gelding, so there wasn't going to be a stallion career, but it does make it, you kind of look back to the, you know, the Joe Hirsch and the Makers and say, oh, you know, to have gotten a grade one with him in one of those spots would have been special. But he's multiple grade one placed, and nobody's taking that away.
No, he earned it, and it was pretty ambitious for him to put him in those spots. And, you know, we weren't surprised that he didn't disappoint us.
Well, you now have him, and he'll stay in the barn for how long, do you figure?
I mean, I may keep him here for a couple of months. I'm not sure yet. We can't really ultrasound the area until we get some of this edema out of the area to get a clearer picture of what, you know, structurally is damaged. So I'm in no hurry to get him out of my hands. I want to keep him and, you know, see if we can get him, you know, healthy enough. And then, of course, he'll definitely go to the farm for a real extended period of time.
This one, you know, kind of special around the barn, too. I mean, when you've got that horse in the first stall and he's there and he's been there as many years at this point as he has. Yeah, you don't want him. You know, you don't want him out too quickly, and it'll still be tough when the van comes to pick him up and take him to, you know, wherever the next career or you know, just retirement's going to be. Talk about, you know, working with him over the years, and of course being a son of Get Stormy. I mean, that alone made him special.
Yeah, there's no question. We looked at all the Gets Stormy yearlings the first year. He's a part of the first crap, and we bought several of the ones that whatever ones we liked, we just bought them, and we keep doing that. If we see one we like, we buy it. And you know, he's rewarding us, and this horse is a happy, intelligent horse, so he'll whatever job or whatever life we end up finding for him, he'll be a happy horse.
It's interesting too, because it wasn't lost on me from Saturday that the brother, the younger brother ran as well at Churchill. Get Western ran on Saturday night.
Yes,
the full brother ran, and so and of course Linda had the sisters run and all that, and so there was. There was a lot of that family, those family ties that were involved. Tom, this is never easy. For those that don't know about the name, though, but I mean, Clyde, of course, the nickname of his sire, and so given what he looked like to you guys, Clyde's image, he looked like his father.
Yes, he does, and the full brother is a dark Bay or brown colt, so. You never know how they're going to come out, but this colt, he does have Clyde's image does have quite a bit of chrome on him, like his sire. So that always makes an impression on you too. But we're happy to have had him, and we're gonna take care of him, and we're gonna get him healthy.
I'm not sure where they are, but there is the two. There's two more. Full siblings. There's the full brother that is now a yearling, and there's a weanling, a 19 weanling filly.
Yes, I met the breeders at Keeneland. They came out to see Clyde's image and Bar Inman. They're a small farm operation, and they do a great job raising a horse. And they it's obviously worked for them a couple of times. So. That's what a lot of breeders do. They're like trainers. They go back to what they had success with.
Well, and of course, they dabbled here and there. There's a pair of liaison siblings as well that are in between Clyde's image and Get Western. And I'm sure that that you and Mrs. Sullivan will be tracking where those where the yearling goes. And when was he? How was he acquired? Actually, I don't even remember.
He was bought at the September yearling sale on one of the very late days. Phil Hager, who had a lot to do with placing Get Stormy at Crestwood, and we have Mrs. Sullivan and I have a very good relationship with Phil, and he's a very, very astute horseman, and he found Clyde's image late in the sale at Keeneland, and we bought him for $24,000.
Well, and paid back that and way more, and became a real favorite. And now the mantle falls to some others, Tom, to step up and fill the void. And in fact, let me ask you about the two maidens coming up this week. You got Plink Freud back coming up on Wednesday, and then on Thursday, Sandra's mine.
Yeah, I mean both fillies, they're in the races I want them to be in. Plink Freud obviously ran extremely well last time, and Sandra's mine. Ran very well as well, finishing very strongly in the race, and she's always suggested to us she needed more ground. So I'm hoping more ground will do it for her, and Plink Freud could even be in the favorites role, which is not my favorite place to be, but she's doing well.
Well, relieved that everything, very quickly became clear to Javier that what he needed to do, and I'm sure you're appreciative of the way he took care of Clyde as well. And
no, he did a tremendous job.
Yeah. And of course, the public, not knowing what transpired, not understanding immediately, it took a little while for it to sink in what actually had transpired, and everybody kind of backed off some of the silliness that initially greeted what Javier dealt with, but we're just happy and that he's out of danger of any kind. And you know, Tom, we'll obviously track him because he'll be popular, whatever he's going to do down the road and wherever he ends up.
Appreciate it so much, Steve.
We appreciate the visit. Tom Bush and Clyde's image. He's okay and much more comfortable today after basically blowing a tire, the tendon. And if you watch the replay, you can, as Tom said, you can see right where Javier immediately he clenches up and realizes from the little bobble, the little the tweak, and slows him, and past the wire, gets him to a complete stop, and they get him on the ambulance and back to the barn. So I appreciate Tom. It's got to be hard. Yeah, this it's the big horse, and Tom's got a handful that he puts his eyes and hands on daily. Does a tremendous job. One of my favorite horsemen in New York. Let's take a timeout here. When we come back, Dallas Stewart's going to join us and talk about a terrific effort. Seeking the Soul, Mr. Fipke. And in fact, Mr. Fipke with this, and obviously Sid, when we talk to him on Wednesday, he'll tell you more about Seeking the Soul. He's discussed them, plenty of times. But of the five graded stake winners on Saturday night, four of them were homebreds and prominent homebred types. Very notable, Mrs. Whitney, Hard Legacy, Elate, Claiborne, and Mrs. Dill Schneider, March to the Arch, Mrs. Weber, and Mr. Fipke with Seeking the Soul. That's a not that buying Mr. Money is not that there's anything wrong with buying a graded stake winner. Nothing wrong with that at all, but it is kind of cool. I thought that was the first thing that jumped off at me, as the night went on, the four homebreds. Dallas Stewart joins us next.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
DRF Sports Forum Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Forum delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsforum. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and kept the summer on Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll free number 888-938-4643.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Back at the races, about 25 to the top of the hour. We'll talk to Johnny D at 10, and between Dallas Stewart, who's joining us now, and Johnny, a little visit with Brett Calhoun as well. And right now, Dallas Stewart joins us after authoring another big win for Mr. Fipke. And with Johnny V, there's something magical about Fipke, Velasquez, and Stewart. Congratulations, Dallas.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Steve.
You know, it is kind of cool that you know that you're getting into a a real habit with Johnny for Mr. Fipke.
Yeah, it's a great thing going on right now. Hope we can keep it rolling through the Breeders' Cup.
And of course, this this puts you on track. And last year you missed the Breeders' Cup with him, but the 6 year old snaps back out of the Ali Sheba just weeks ago, and talk a little bit about the way you've approached his campaign, Dallas. You know, you went to the Pegasus, you ran great there behind City of Light, you tried Dubai, and it was worth the effort. Everybody kind of got, the winner and the runner-up kind of got away from everybody on the night, and then the Ali Sheba, he was running well at the end, but same thing, McKenzie and Tom's the Tot had sort of separated from the rest of the field.
That he came back out of the Dubai race very good. Just told Fipke that, it seems like he's in good shape. Maybe we should try the Ali Sheba. So we gave him a couple of small works, not nothing major. And he did very well with that. So we went on. I said, let's get a race in him if we're going to make the Stephen Foster. It went very well, as you know.
What was your experience overall with the coming back from Dubai and your what you watch for in terms of knowing that the horse has come back out of a trip like that? Okay,
I mean the horse just seemed fine. We start jogging for 4 or 5 days. His energy seemed good. His health seemed fine. His blood work came back good. So we just started training him. He was ready to train.
How about that? Do you think it's any easier? I mean, or what has changed, do you think, over the years where, there had been that really acute concern from trainers, Dallas, about, taking your time after a across the world venture like that?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, both of the ones, I ran two over there and they both came back really good. I don't know what they did prior to 2 years that I've been there, but the facility's very nice. They wait about a week to bring them back after a race, so it's not right after a race. And we kind of train them lightly a little bit over there before they come back and, just build them up with some fluids and vitamins. And, it went well for Forever and Bridal. She came back and got right in full after she had her trip to Dubai. So, and this horse came back good and was able to race.
Well, this adds to his impressive resume, and of course he won the Grade One Clark going back to 2017. Now you got to basically work yourself back, I suppose, from the Breeders' Cup, and I suppose, Dallas, that not that it would be any problem to go to California, but I'm sure that you would prefer that when there's this discussion in 10 days for the Breeders' Cup that they give strong consideration to coming to Churchill because he loves this racetrack.
Yeah, so what's going on with that? I mean, are they thinking about moving it or what?
They're going to have, they're going to have a meeting next week. In fact, I think it's the 27th, a week from Thursday, after the meet ends at Santa Anita. I know their first preference is to stay in California. They've got to, they've got to consider everything. And so we'll know more in about 10 days.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
That's it. How did you, how did you go into this race in terms of the approach and what you were expecting, in terms of a trip?
Well, I mean, I told a lot of my friends and everything that the source is just right on track. He's ready to roll. His works were great. He was just feeling spunky and he'd be sharp and ready to go. So Johnny said he left the gate sharp and he was up closer, but it's just because he was sharp and he felt good. And he just gave him a phenomenal ride. It was a great ride.
The finish, of course, with Quip running a very good race in here. Tom's de Tat had set the pace and was hanging in, and the three of them basically were going to decide it. Made for an exciting feature on the night, and it looked like a great night. It's become a great night, but with the awarding of the Derby winner trophies and festive, and of course Bill Mott able to not just soak in the limelight with the Derby trophy, but late wins as well before this race. So it was a great night. It looked like
absolutely. It was very festive. It looked like everybody had a great time.
Well, what do you think between now and Breeders' Cup? How one or two starts?
I would say one for sure. I don't know. He didn't do very well at Saratoga last time. I don't know why, but we got the Pacific Classic also, so that would be in play. I would think so. Just have to try to figure it out.
There's obviously with this being a son of. Out of Seeking the Title and By Perfect Soul, this is totally, Chuck Fipke, up and down, and really you as well. Talk about Mr. Fipke and the pleasure of this kind of a horse, and the kind of crafting of a horse like this.
Well, that's a good way to put it. He's crafted. He's been in my barn since he was two, and he's had a couple of minor injuries here and there. Hopefully our program is taking care of him, and he's come out of those injuries in good shape and able to compete at a top level because he's a top level horse. And, it's been a great ride with him. And, hopefully we're just getting started. He's six now, but he sure acts like he's very young. But, as you said, Chuck Fipke's done a great job. He's got the mom, the dad, the brothers, the sisters, and all the relations to him. So he's done a great job putting that together. That's for sure.
Well, and you're very much involved in this. You trained the dam, right? Seeking the Title was one of yours.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we trained it. Absolutely. Yes, sir.
What did she, and she won some, she won a stake or two, no?
Oh, she won the Iowa Iowa Oaks. She was grade one place in the Gazelle.
Nice.
And, she was a very nice filly, Seeking the Soul, Seeking the Title.
And she's by Seeking the Gold, and so plenty of stamina there out of Title Seeker, who was a Monarchos mare. And
right.
If I'm not mistaken, Title Seeker was a Phipps cull. And so, the whole back end of this...
$1.7 million cull. I don't think I'd call it a cull.
Well, no, I'm just saying they every so often they pull one out and this was right. This was I'm pretty sure that they came from the Phipps family. Title Seeker.
He's a grandson of personal engine. So he's in the Phipps family.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, she's like the fourth. I think she's the fourth dam. This is an evolving story, and he certainly is going to make a stallion somewhere. Unfortunately, I just looked up the produce on Title. She had a bad run of luck, Dallas. She lost a foal. She had a foal die on her, and it looks like Chuck has backed off a little bit on breeding her.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. You'd have to ask him for sure. I can't keep up with all of that, but she did a good job raising this one.
Well, that's for sure. And now, earnings-wise, you know, between Pegasus and the stake wins over $3 million with a chance for, yeah, for quite a bit more. And you know, I'm just looking at his record at Churchill. Boy, it is garish. 12 starts, 4 wins, 2 seconds, 4 thirds.
He likes it here.
Yeah, I'd say. I mean, 10 times in the money in 12 starts. Well, Seeking the Soul takes the Foster. Nice. And, you know, and I would think, given the rest of this order of finish, this field will go a long way at the meeting at the Graded Stakes Committee to get the pendulum swing back, to get this back to a grade one, I imagine.
Look like it to me.
Yeah, when you open those PPs, right, and you're looking, how is this not a grade one? Well, we've discussed that system a number of times, but I would think that the scoring that this helps the scoring. You know, earlier, let me touch on a few other things with you, Dallas. In the Fleur de Lis, you ran Auspicious Babe, and you know, you had to figure you were kind of taking a shot to, you know, to maybe get a share.
Yeah, we were just trying to, you know, hopefully get a piece of it. It didn't really work out. We got outrun. You know, it would have been big for her if she'd have got third. But she's a nice filly, just below those it appears.
And you, what do you figure you do? You kind of dial her back a little, or some softer company?
Just come back a little bit with her. Yes, correct.
Well, and also, you know, any number of other nice performers, and you got to be looking forward to. You mentioned Saratoga. You're a regular and been coming for a long time, and of course you got a couple of recent maiden and allowance type winners, including Grandiza. If we go back to beginning of the month, what's next there? How about Frolic More as well?
Yeah, they're two nice horses that have competed very well here. You know, we're going to try to actually run them back here before we leave. The purses are very good, and we'll see what happens, you know, leading up to Saratoga.
Well, and you know, speaking of nice purses, I'm going to bring up a horse that's been running for claiming prices, but for real money, and that's Brian Burns' Cubs Win. And
yeah.
We're big fans of Mountjoy going back, going back to Smooth Air, and you know, you keep daring people, and he keeps coming back to the barn after winning.
Yeah, we're gonna give her a try in an allowance company over here and see how
good.
She does.
So very
she's
nice.
She's won two here, and you know she's doing very well.
Well, and I always reach out to Brian and congratulate him. And how long? When did you start getting horses with Brian?
No, I've worked for him for a long time. We took a little hiatus there for a while, but he's back with me, and I'm glad he's back. He's fun to train for, and hopefully we can keep it rolling for a while.
No, it's a great. They're a beautiful family, and they've been around the game a long time. Always happy to see Mountjoy win. Tell us about the horses coming up this week as well, Dallas. Chess Chief comes back on Thursday, and then you got a pair for Friday.
Right, we got Chess Chief coming up. Blinkers on. He's done very well with the blinkers on. He's been working just great. So we hope that plays over good for his race. He's a very nice intermission colt. And we got two horses in, putting blinkers on Classy John, see if we can pick his head up a little bit, leaving the gates. And we have Chase the Ghost in the same race, who ran very good on Derby Day, came back with a race that was just kind of okay. So looks like he's doing well. So hopefully it'll be a good race. The purses are good. You know, everybody's excited about running here. It's been a phenomenal meet.
Yeah, no doubt. And I'm just looking over this field. This is a nice group. Cassie's
Absolutely.
Got that super Comet comes back in this spot.
Great spot. It's tough racing here now. You better be ready to run.
Well, and I see Lemniscate, who was last seen in the Louisiana Derby. I mean, every single horse that comes out of the Louisiana Derby's got to be looked at three times.
Yeah, the horses have competed very well coming out of New Orleans, that's for sure.
Well, and speaking of New Orleans, let me ask you a question, because at Saratoga, one thing that you'll be doing is unveiling plenty of two-year-olds, and the Bensons have been, the Team Benson has been very active. talk about the babies, because there's some rumblings that they've got some good ones.
I mean, I've just got one that's on track with him right now. He's a street boss colt. His name's Brother Martin. Might show up late in the meet. The others were just kind of taking their time with him. So, you know, probably the one start that they get there. But he's a pretty nice colt, Brother Martin.
Brother Martin will watch for GMB Racing. And how many others? What other two-year-olds should we be aware of going into the summer?
Well, I got a nice colt named Calvary Charge for Terry Finley. He's very nice. He's an honor codes colt. You know, he can make it up there.
Hmm.
And into Mischief Philly. Her name is She's Mischief. She seems pretty handy. This also a Valine, another Valine horse that's a Louisiana bred colt. His name is Social Affleet. So there's four or five of them that can make it up there. If everything continues to go right, if the works are good here at Churchill and they look like they can make it, make the trip, we'll take them.
And that, you know, you mentioned Louisiana bred and Valine. It makes me want to ask, how many will you send to Ellis? And you know, how do you split up? Because certainly the program at Ellis, we got to be respected.
Got to be respected. We'll run a few down there. Probably based here at Churchill. Take a handful of Saratoga, and I don't know that I'll go stable now. I don't have that many horses, so I think we'll probably just stay here.
Outstanding. Well, Dallas, things going great. It's already been a terrific year. You're actually on track. I probably haven't looked at this kind of thing, but you're on track.
I don't look enough.
Well, I can tell you that you're on track easily to have the best year you've ever had training and earnings.
I'm very fortunate for the people I work for, and keep myself healthy and keep working. That's what keeps me happy.
No, you're doing great, and you add the Stephen Foster to your resume. These kinds of wins, are treasured by horsemen, and congratulations. Yeah. Well done.
Thank you, Steve. Thanks for everything.
Always fun. Dallas Stewart, everybody, and Seeking the Soul. We'll hear more about the breeding side with Sid on Wednesday, because Sid will know what the status actually specifically is of Seeking the Title. When mares, I could also bring Dr. Alday in, when mares start to have that, run of bad luck, a lot of times it's more than just simply bad luck. There's issues that, you know, begin to be problematic, and, you know, you then start to get, you know, concerned. She wasn't covered after Seeking the Soul. Seeking the Soul was 2013, and she's only ever, as far as we know, only ever been covered by Perfect Soul. Her first baby was Seeking the Perfect. Then came Seeking the Soul the next year. Then she wasn't covered in 2014, and that would lead me to believe that I'm going to take a look. Seeking the Soul must have been a fairly late, sure enough, May 4th foal. So they didn't breed her, with a late May or June cover. They wanted to reset, and she got Perfect Seeker in 15 with Perfect Soul. But then in 16, she lost a foal. Foal died. She was barren in 17, which means she must have aborted or absorbed. And then in 18, she delivered a red bag foal. And then it doesn't appear she was covered this year. So we'll see what Sid. Maybe she's been retired from service. If that's the case, Seeking the Title certainly did okay, delivering a $3.3 million earner in Seeking the Soul, who himself certainly is going to get a chance to stand stud. I will hand that over to Sid on Wednesday. We'll let him riff on that. On that topic. But overall, I mean, looking at this race, Gift Box ran okay not great and just wasn't, I don't know what, I saw somebody who said that this was, this was the evil twin, Joel Rosario. last week you had the good twin. And then here came bad Joel. I don't know. You have to watch it again. But the gift box, was kind of, I don't know what the game plan was exactly. And I didn't see any John Sadler quotes per se. But, Tom's Detat ended up with the lead. And that, certainly looked like it was going well. I thought, I picked Giftbox, and Quip actually got in the way of any success in this race for me. But Rudy Brissett's got to be very happy with this effort coming out of the Oaklawn Handicap, and I imagine they will set their sights on Saratoga, Whitney, perhaps. Thirst for Life ran well at a nice price that we kind of were, thinking that Thirst for Life could get maybe a piece underneath. Yoshida from the outside open air box where the air is fresh and clear, that was no help. Yeah, he got over, but it really never offered much of a run. After that, Tenfold was never involved at all. And it's funny, not only was he not involved, he didn't get bet. The board told you everything you needed to know. Tenfold was 12-1, and at no point on the tote board did he look like he was getting action or live. If you're a tote watcher, so good, very good addition of the Foster as anticipated, and we'll talk more about the rest of the stakes. We'll see what Johnny thought of it. Meanwhile, away from the stakes action, we certainly got a note that the night started the early evening. It was only 6 o'clock, but the whole card started with another big Michelle Lovell win. And when Michelle Lovell wins, we all win. certainly Clocker John, I imagine, did okay. Spira Gyra. I think they played at Colgate when I was a freshman, Spira Gyra. Remember they were a big deal, Spira Gyra? Gabe Saez. And Gabe Saez had a big night, actually, because later on, he opened the card with the win, and then later on, Mr. Money, of course, we'll talk to Brett Calhoun in a bit, and then he won the Arabian race. Gabe upset the Arabian with Texas Hold'em. RB Texas Hold'em won like a champ. The 8-1 too. Nicole Ruggieri for Byerly Racing with this Arabian. I can't tell you much. Maybe we'll reach out. That'd be fun. Maybe we'll reach out to Nicole Ruggieri, and that's a big win. There's only a couple of big 100-granders for the Arabians during the course of the year. Let's take a break here. And If Johnny, if you don't mind, let me get Brett Calhoun in, and then we'll come to Johnny for a little Johnny D discussion. Back after this.